that we're going to talk about meteorology this morning, and that's the weather in the Bible. The definition of meteorology is a scientific study of the Earth's atmosphere, the air surrounding it, and how it causes changes in weather conditions. So what we're going to talk about this morning is the different types of weather mentioned in the Bible, and also how the Lord used that, whether it was to help his people, to punish his people, or to help his people defeat the enemy, because it was all three different. Actually, there's some other examples of that too, but we'll get into that later on. So one of the things about weather is everybody's always talking about forecasts. So a forecast is a statement of what is judged likely to happen in the future, especially in connection with particular situation or in unexpected weather conditions. The definition of weather is the good conditions in the air above the earth, such as wind, rain, temperature, especially at a particular time or over a particular area. So there's the main different types of weather words in the Bible are clouds, and that's mentioned. This is kind of amazing because I'm going to read off each one of the different types of weather. This is just a general condition. There's other conditions like, for example, like if you hear the Bible talk about drought, he's probably talking about because it rained a lot. You know, so you can. If you looked up drought and rain, they're not actually in the same even in the same area, but it would be because of a drought, it didn't rain, or because of the flood, it did rain. So clouds is mentioned 49 times in the Bible. Thunder actually is mentioned 19. Lightning is 27 times. Dew is 37 times. Frost is 6. Drought is 10 times. Heat is 30 times. Cold is 17 times. Mist is 3 times. Vapors is 3 times. Storms, 13. Hail, 34. Rain, which is the biggest one, was mentioned 87 times in the Bible. Waterspouts, actually a tornado was mentioned once. Then you've got east wind 19 times, north wind 3 times, south wind 7 times, and west wind 25 times. There's a lot to do, and that's just the general terms. That's not the ones below that that could have indications. So we're going to talk this morning about clouds, thunder, lightning and dew, drought, heat, cold, mist, storms and hail and rain, and then wind. Instead of east, north, west, and south, we're going to make a general type term. Otherwise, you get into a lot of different verses. So, okay. So let's look at weather first, the whole subject of weather affected by prayer. So let's look at 1 Samuel 12, 16 through 18. This is when Samuel prayed for a prayer to the Lord, and this is what happened. So, Samuel 12, 16 through 18. Now, therefore, stand down and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. So the Samuel punished the people then because he wanted a king, and basically destroyed most of their crops. So let's look at another prayer by Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 41 through 45. 1 Kings 18. Okay, 1 Kings 18, 41 through 45. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, saying to Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, while in the meanwhile, that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. So this example of Elijah when he prayed and wanted the rain to come. So there's another place about that actually Jesus talks about a forecast in the Bible. So let's turn to Matthew 16:2-3. Now this is these verses here is an old saying in the Navy because, and I'll read through this and I'll explain what I'm talking about when it got done, but look at Matthew 16:2-3. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign but given unto them, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. The Navy saying was that red sky in the evening and good weather, fair red sky in the morning, poor weather. And that was just in the Navy, that's something. And yeah, actually, lots of times that went true, especially when you open water, you can see forever. So, yeah. Okay, let's look at Acts 27:9-10. This is where Paul is admonishing them. Acts 27:9-10. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was not already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion owned the ship more than these things which was spoken by Paul. And because the heaven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to the departed thence also, if by any means I might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is in haven or Crete, I lie toward the south and west. And then when the south wind blows slowly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So that was the time when Paul was almost shipwrecked, and they had told them not to leave port that particular time, and they did anyway. So, okay, now let's look at different types of weather. First, let's look at rain. And like I said, it's the most frequently weather term in the Bible. So, the definition of rain is very simple. Drops of water from the clouds. The first mention of rain and mist in the Bible, because mist is just almost like rain, but it's just a mist. Like we had yesterday, it was so humid, it felt like we had a mist on our arms, you know. But the first time weather is mentioned in the Bible, at that time, the only thing that was on earth before the flood was mist. No rain had actually happened yet until the flood, which involved Noah's Ark. This is the first place in the Bible that rain is actually mentioned affected the people that lived there because of the flood. This is a very common story in the Bible about the worldwide flood that was caused by the Lord because of the evil on the earth. So let's look at Genesis 7:4-12. Genesis 7:4-12. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with them, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. How far was I supposed to read? 12. Of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, and of the fowls, and everything that creepeth both on the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah, into the ark, the male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So it took 7 days just to float that ship. So, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the water was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you actually think about this, and I just thought about this, this may not be true, but if it took seven days of flood, probably to raise the ark. For one thing, that had to get level enough, because if the waters opened up from the bellows of the earth, that would be a horrible flood. But if there was already water on the earth, that would make it a whole lot calmer on top. So it could rise. How would you explain that? Kind of like setting a hose underneath into a bathtub and turning on full force. There'd be a little disturbance on the top, but it's still got a lot of water coming in. So to me, that would make sense. That may be wrong, but yeah. Okay. There is also a demonstration by Samuel about what could happen when Samuel played to the Lord. Let's go to 1 Samuel 12:16 through 22. Okay. 1 Samuel 12:16-22. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord would do before your eyes. Is it not wheat season today? I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and lightning, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and lightning that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we may die not. We have added unto our sins this evil, to ask us a king. Okay, where do you want to go now? Okay, let's go to Isaiah 55:9-11. This is where the Lord tells people what rain and snow is good for. Isaiah 55:9-11. Okay. Is that right? Oh, 55:9-11. Here we go. Okay. Isaiah 55:9-11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So that's together. The Lord's explaining what rain and snow is for. Okay. So let's go to Joel 2:21-24. This is where the Lord is doing good to help his people. Okay, Joel 2:21-24. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. So the Lord's providing what they need to survive then with the wheat and the wine. Okay, we're going to look at clouds next. This is the most commonly used weather term used in the Bible, other than rain, which they used it 49 times. So the definition of a cloud is a gray or white mass in the sky made up of small floating drops of water. The first time a cloud is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis, and that's in Genesis 9. We're going to read Genesis 9, 8 through 17. The Lord made a covenant to Noah that this is what we call rainbow today. So Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Okay, Genesis 9, 8 through 17. And I behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember that everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So that's just a rainbow. Sometimes I've actually seen three of them in a row. And that's really pretty phenomenal. But especially, you know, I go back to out in the ocean. Out in the ocean, you can see for miles, you can see the rainbow. You would not believe how brilliant the colors are because it's going down into water. It's just like you would take a painting and paint the exact covers. It's really, really, really pretty. So, okay, let's look at Exodus 13, 21 through 22. This is when the Lord leads the people out of Egypt in a cloud. Exodus 20:13-21 through 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. So I don't know if you can think about what a cloud might look like, but the pillar of fire, that'd be pretty awesome at night, man. But so he led the people out of Egypt with a pillar inside the cloud by a pillar as he led the children out of Egypt. So, okay, so let's talk about dew. Definition of dew: drops of rain that form on the ground and other surfaces outside during the night. So let's go to Exodus 16, 8 through 14. Okay, Exodus 16, 8 through 14. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud, another cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the people of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At eve you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails come up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given them to eat. So he produced dew on the ground, and that turned to manna for them, something to eat. So that's just how remarkable the Lord can be. If you need something, ask and pray for it. So, okay. Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 28. Okay, Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 28. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who ride upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountains of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. So that would also help the crops grow and the grass to grow. So he's blessing the people again there. So, okay, let's look at 1 Kings 17, 1 through 4. This is when the Lord punishes the people. Okay, 1 Kings 17, 1 through 4. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and unto Ahab, as the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord coming to him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and is before Jordan. So there, that's when the Lord was going to actually dry up the land with a big drought. And he was giving Ahab, Elijah, a place to go that he could get water. And after that, he actually sent him to a maiden that who helped with his food during that time, too. So. Okay, hail. What is hail? Hail is the form of a small balls of lumps, usually consisting of concentrated layers of clear ice and compact snow. Now, this is in Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus 9:22 through 26. This is when the Lord throws down hail and thunder, trying to let the Israelites out of Egypt. But not long ago, just a few weeks ago, you guys see the article of that big hail that was in Texas? It was 7 1/4 inches long. It was a record. Can you imagine hail falling that big? And who knows how big that hail was in Europe, because it killed a lot of people and destroyed a lot of crops and animals. So let's read Exodus 9:22. You guys are getting there, because Pastor can talk and open. I can't do that, man. Exodus 9:22 through 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the city, of the field, there throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the rain and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fog mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Now there you've got hail, which is water, with fire, which usually puts out water. That's pretty, almost a miracle, those two things could go together and not put each other out, you know. But, okay. Here's where God is helping his people. Turn to Joshua 10, 8 through 11. Joshua 10, 8 through 11. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore come upon them suddenly and went up from Gilead all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-Huron, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makedes. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So, it's probably some more big hail, a 7-inch hail, you know. So, okay. Then we can talk about thunder next. The sound that follows a flash of lightning is caused by sudden expansion of the air in the path of the electrical discharge. So the easiest thing to think about that is, talking about discharge, is static electricity. If you get really static electricity and you get shocked from one point to the other, like you're like on a carpet or something, that's basically lightning in a very, very small amount. But you think about how strong that would be up in the sky. That's lightning, but that would be static electricity. But it's basically the same thing, but it's just a smaller contact. So lightning is a flash of light produced by a discharge of atmospheric electricity. So let's look at Exodus 9, 22 through 25. And we've looked at this passage before. We're going to look at it with lightning and thunder this time, though. Exodus 9. Okay, Exodus 9, 22 through 25. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, unto men, and upon beasts, and upon every herb of the field, therefore the land of Egypt. There throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran long upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. We had talked about that just before, but that's just emphasized. It was thunder, hail, and fire in that particular item with Moses. So the Lord calls forth great thunder. Look at 1 Samuel 7, 8 through 10. I think I've got that wrong. 1 Samuel 7, 8 through 10. Here we go. 1 Samuel 7, 8 through 10. And the children of Israel said to Simeon, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them, and he was smitten before Israel. Didn't see that he's actually killed, but gives the impression something bad happens. So now punishment by the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 12, 15 through 19. Okay, 1 Samuel 12, 15 through 19. And I'm going to make a comment here. The first couple of Bible studies I made, and poor Bev, she made a comment when it got done talking. She said, we need to reiterate the verse in the chapter you're going through. Because when I first couple I did, I would just say that once and I would start reading. And Bev said, when you got to say that twice, man. So every time I do that, I think about Bev. I got seen this twice, you know. So anyway, 1 Samuel 12, verses 15 through 19. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord. We had talked about this before, but this was talking about the thunder and rain together. Usually, if you have a heavy rain, you've got thunder and lightning with it anyway. So it kind of just goes together. So, okay. So let's go to Revelation 4, 1 through 5. Not for sure that's the right verse I wanted. Oh, yeah, it was. Okay, Revelation 4, 1 through 5. This is a vision that John is writing. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. That's kind of interesting. If there's a rainbow around the throne, it looks like there might be clouds around the throne, maybe. Hadn't thought about that, but that's a possibility. A rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So there you've got a rainbow, which according to the Bible, that would be a covenant that the Lord made with the people, and that would be some kind of water vapor cloud, if that's the way it is up there. And you obviously got thunder and lightning, which actually goes with all this. Clouds, thunder, lightning, and rain. So, okay. Let's go to Revelation 16, verse 17 and 18. This is about the coming of the seventh angel. Okay, Revelation 16, chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And the seventh angel poured out his vow into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since man was upon the earth, so mightily an earthquake and so great. Well, there's been some big earthquakes around recently where the rivers, Mississippi River, actually ran backwards. I can't imagine how big an earthquake greater than that would be. But who knows, it might just split the earth open. You know, I don't know. Okay, we're talking about heat next. Heat is a condition of hot, warmth. It's a notable degree of hotness. So like if you're inside a house and you stick your arm out and the sun hits it, that's heat. You can feel that arm, especially like it was yesterday. So let's go to Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Genesis 8, 20 through 22. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not come again, curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite upon any living creature as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So he's just talking there about the different changes of season. You've got a cold season and a hot season, and that's summer and winter. So this is Genesis 18, verse 1. This is when the Lord appears to Abraham. Just read chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merid, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That would probably be about noon, between about noon and 5. So talk about wind next. Wind is a natural movement of air of any velocity. I have a story to tell here, talking about wind. When I was in the Navy, I was on aircraft carrier. I'm not going to mention the aircraft carrier because I might get in trouble what happens. But but we was up in the North Atlantic, and it was not a storm you would think with lightning and thunder. It's just a lot of wind, which you just see these rolling, and it can be clear outside. Well, from the water to the top deck of the flight deck is about 5 stories, okay? We've got in some seas, and we had aircraft on top of the deck. They're anchored down with boats and stuff. And a wave came over the top of their front of the aircraft and tore those couple of airplanes off the deck. And they was tied down and ripped them right off. That shows the power and how high waves can get without being a storm. That's just a typical wave in the North Atlantic with some wind. Well, you got these destroyers out there beside us, because every time you go out with an aircraft crew, they have an escort. There might be a destroyer, some cruiser, and even some submarines, which you can't see. Well, you should see these things. You got 50-foot waves, and the ship's only like 200 feet long. You know, they're going like this. That's when you strap yourself in the bed, the aircraft, especially a destroyer. So I know a little bit about winds, but so there's actually 4 different kinds of wind. We got the north, south, east, and west. West and south winds are recorded. Let's go to Luke 12, 54 through 55. Luke 12, 54 through 55. And he says, this is Jesus talking. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you shall see, there cometh a shower, and so it be. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Well, that's true, especially around here. You see a cloud from the south, and it looks like rain, it's probably going to rain. And our warm winds come from the south-southwest, so usually. During the wintertime, it still may come from the south, but you have a north breeze in there too, so. Okay, let's go to Jonah 1, 1 through 5. This is where they're drawing lots and end up casting Jonah into the water. But let's look at Jonah 1, 1 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me." And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, which he did what the Lord told him not to do. He fled and went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fee thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth their wares that were by in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and fell fast asleep. Sailors can get very scared of wind, especially in the old wooden crafts. I can't imagine being like on a wooden sailing ship, but it's kind of hard to imagine. But he was being punished for something the Lord had told him not to do. So, okay, we'll talk about drought next. We're going through this kind of fast because I've still got another page. But drought is a period of dryness, especially when prolonged. One that causes extensive damage to crops or prevents their successful growth. So God is warning his people. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11. And Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command ye this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. So he's talking there about the Lord helping him provide, asking for rain, and the Lord provided rain. So, okay, the 1 Kings 8, 34 through 36, this is when Israel has sinned against the Lord. Okay. 1 Kings 34 through 36. Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sins of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou givest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess their name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest themselves, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sins of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they shall walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Looks like the people of Israel had sinned, and they was praying to get rain, or telling people to do better and worship the God they needed to worship. So, okay, cold. Definition is having or being a temperature that is uncomfortably low for humans. Let's go to Proverbs 20, 1 through 4. You wouldn't think there'd be very much weather in the Proverbs, but there actually is. Okay, Proverbs 20, 1 through 4. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion, whose soul provoketh him to anger, sinneth against his own soul. It is honor for man to cease from strife, for every food will be meddling. The sluggard will not prowl by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. So in other words, if he's not going to be working out, kind of way I understand, if he's not going to be working out the cold, then he still may not survive very good, even if he had a good harvest. So, but a sluggard basically is someone that just doesn't want to work at all. So, okay, Acts 28, 1 through 2. Acts 28. Okay, Acts 28, 1 through 2. This is when Paul is with the barbarous people, and right after what I'm reading here is when he gets bit by the poisonous serpent that doesn't hurt him any. So Acts 28, 1 through 2. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed up no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received up everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. So wherever they was at, it was cold and it was raining. And if you're getting off a ship and you don't have anything, that can be pretty miserable. Okay, we'll talk about mist. Mist in the form of particles floating or falling in the atmosphere or near the surface of the earth, approaching the form of rain. So let's go to Genesis 2, 5 through 6. Genesis 2, 5 through 6. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that's the first actual mention of any kind of weather that I think is in the Bible was mist. And this was right after creation. So, because man hadn't even been formed yet. But what's kind of, I hadn't read this before, but look at verse 6. It says, a mist, it says it come up, it went up, and there went up a mist from the earth. That sounds like it's coming up instead of like you would think coming down. Like a rain or dew or something? Hadn't thought about that before. That's interesting. Okay, now we'll talk about storms. Storm definition is a disturbance of the atmosphere, marked by wind and usually by rain, snow, hail, sleet, thunder, and lightning. A heavy fall of rain, snow, or hail, or wind having a speed of 64 to 72 miles per hour or more. So let's look at Genesis 7, 11 through 12. We read this at the beginning, but now we're talking about storms. So 11 through 12. In the 600th year of Noah, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven was open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. To me, they don't mention storm here, but it seems like it'd be a storm to me. So, look at Genesis 19, 24 through 26. This is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, 24 through 26. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and the inhabitants of the cities, and that was grown upon the ground. So to me, that would be another storm. It doesn't actually say that, but that kind of fits the definition. And the interesting note here is that several years ago, I got kind of interested in Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you guys ever heard of brimstone before? A stone called brimstone? Okay. There's actually places over in the Middle East where you can, in this one particular area, and I think this is where maybe Sodom and Gomorrah was at. You can pick it up and you can light that and set it on fire with a match. That's how combustible it was. It's kind of interesting. So, yeah. That makes you wonder about maybe this is what come down from heaven. So. Okay. The next one, the last one we're going to talk about, next to the last, is the tempest. Tempest is just a violent storm. We saw Paul was on that in Acts 27:18. But I got another story to tell you in the Navy, because we was in a tempest, a big tempest. We were in the South Philippine Islands down there, and I was on a research ship, and we had individual survey launchers. There was four of them, and they would set up that was before they had computers and satellites in the sky. So they would put up CBs during World War II on almost all the islands in the South Pacific. CBs put these concrete markers up so they knew exactly what the longitude and latitude was, so they could run markers off of that to find out where they could shoot things. Anyway, we would send these CBs in, and they would set up these small computers back then in the 80s, and they would shoot lasers toward our ship, to our small boats. So the four launchers would go out, and our launchers, like me, from here to that wall, that's how long. It was just full of computers, which was pretty sophisticated back then. And my job was, I was a coxswain of the boat. I drove it. And the first boat would get as close as he could to the shore, and we would go all the way around the island. The next boat would be out about 50 feet and 50 feet and 50 feet. So by the time we got done, we'd be at about 200 feet of survey around the island. The Philippine government paid us to do that. During 6 months of the year, during the monsoon season, South Korea paid us to do their islands, and then we would go back to the Philippines when it wasn't monsoon season. So, but what happened was they dropped us off, and one of the seabees on the island got bit by a poisonous snake. Okay. And he was going to die. Well, they didn't carry all these anti-vaccines back then, because there were so many poisonous snakes they didn't know what to carry anyway. So what they did, they left us there serving on the islands with the rest of the seabees, and they took off the ship at flank speed to get within helicopter range of a hospital that had this antidote. They left us there. Well, in the meantime, a typhoon did build up. And it didn't take long for a typhoon to build up, right? So we're sitting here. We're still going around the island. The waves are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time they got back, it was dark. And at that time, we had batteries, which is running the computers. Now, if you look at a ship, you got the mast, which is all these really tall antennas on the top of it. The waves were so big that we would go down to the wave right here, and we cannot see the top of the ship's mast. And they were supposed to pick us up. Well, that was impossible. We couldn't do that. So we found this ship for about 20 miles to the other side of an island and poured into a harbor there, and they finally picked us up. And that's the worst seas I have personally been in. That's scary. Because the batteries, you actually lost batteries out the windows. That's how rough the sea was. And it was clamped down. It was just tearing them apart. So we got on board. This is the funny part. We got on board, and four crewmen on each ship. And it was a merchant marine ship, because it wasn't a Navy ship. We was a Navy attachment on board. He said, "You guys are all supposed to report to set call to see how you guys are doing." We get there, and on a gurney here is 16 shots of whiskey from the captain's private stock. He said, "You guys deserve this, and each of you guys get a shot, man." So anyway, but that was a tempest. That was the worst storm I've ever been in my life, man. Yeah. But... Okay, whirlwind is a rotating wind world of limited extent. That's kind of like a tornado. So let's look at 2 Kings 2:1. Okay, this is when the Lord takes up Elijah. "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilead." And a whirlwind is basically a small tornadoes or a big tornado. But so Elijah never actually, I understand it, never died. He just went up to be with the Lord in a whirlwind. So, okay, look at Job 37, 8 through 11. Okay, Job 37, 8 through 11. Yeah. Then the beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. Out of the south comes the whirlwind and cold out of the north. By the breath of, let's see, I'm supposed to read that part. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straightened. Also by watering, he wearied the thick cloud, he scattered his bright cloud. So there you're talking about a whirlwind that comes from the south. And there's another word here too about weather, frost. That's another word that I did not have on my notes, frost. That's another word, another weather word. So let's go to Ezekiel. This is the last verse. Ezekiel 1:1-4. Okay. Ezekiel 1:1-4. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of this of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King, let's see, Jehoiathan captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel and the priests, the son of Buza, in the land of Chaldeans, by the river Chebar. And the land of the Lord was, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind come out of the north, a great cloud, and a firing floating on itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as a color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. I'll keep on reading here. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was the appearance they had likeness of to man. This is describing cherubims. And they ought to be pretty awesome if we ever get to see one. But that's all I had this morning. Thanks for your kind attention, and I hope it made some sense. So I enjoyed it because I was always interested in weather. So.